Greece just keeps on being the word.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Greece is expected to approve drastic spending cuts today, a day after protests in the country turned deadly. Three workers died in a blaze at an Athens bank yesterday. More than 40 police officers were injured in the demonstrations. And today, the prime minister there, George Papandreou, will tell lawmakers the country could go under financially if wage and pension cuts aren't made soon. Joanna Kakissis is with us live this morning, the reporter from Athens. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Steve.
Could these, let's talk about these three deaths from yesterday, the tragedy there. Could it change the debate about the economy in Greece?
Yes, and probably in Prime Minister George Papandreou's favor. He was very angry when speaking in Parliament yesterday. He said there's no excuse for violence, especially violence that ends in murder. The bank employees were all very young, in their 30s, and they're definitely seen as innocent victims. I talked to one analyst yesterday, and he said the conversation is no longer about workers suffering through tough spending cuts. It's about protesters killing the very workers they're supposed to be fighting for.
And Joanna, what were the protests like? How did they get so out of hand?
Well, you have to remember demonstrations are actually common in Greece, and in fact, they're part of the culture. And yet they're rarely violent. I was in the midst of yesterday's protests. So the workers were chanting, burn down Parliament, burn down the whorehouse. They were throwing rocks. Unfortunately, this protest was essentially hijacked by these fringe anti-globalist young Greeks called koukoulophori, which literally means hooded youth. And they actually wear hoods. Yesterday, they threw a gas bomb into the bank and set it on fire.
Yeah, and that's where those the three women died from smoke inhalation. So what happens next, Joanna?
Well, Parliament's supposed to vote on the latest spending cuts today, and Papandreou's Socialist Party has a majority, so the measures will definitely pass. But the labor unions are organizing yet another demonstration tonight, and people are definitely uneasy after protests yesterday got so out of hand.
All right. Reporter Joanna Kakissis reporting live from Athens. Joanna, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. In Louisiana, oil may have hit the shore. A team is investigating whether the crude that's been gushing for days now has finally made landfall on some coastal islands there. Right now, a 100-ton concrete and steel dome-like contraption is on its way to the spot where the oil is spewing from. The hope is it can get the hole plugged up. Meanwhile, a major oil industry gathering is going on in Houston today. The focus there, offshore drilling. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz is there as well, and he's with us from Texas with the latest. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Steve.
So, Rob, what are these people saying about how this spill is going to affect their industry?
Well, many here are pretty worried that this is going to lead to a more regulated industry. They think their industry is over-regulated as it is. And with more regulations, they say the cost of doing business will increase, leading to higher prices at the gas pump for consumers.
And what kind of regulation are they worried about?
Well, I think most here agree it's going to lead to a requirement for more safety measures on these offshore rigs. You know, I had a chance to speak to a man named David Doig. He's the CEO of Opito, a company that sets global safety standards for the oil industry. He said he wondered why many countries don't require what's called an acoustic switch. Now, this is a safety device that some say may have prevented this spill. The U.S. doesn't require companies to install it, and consequently, it wasn't installed on the Deepwater Horizon rig. You know, Doig told me that only Norway and Brazil require oil companies to install these devices.
The question needs to be asked is, why only in two countries when we have a global industry where all the players are working across all the boundaries? You don't work in a local environment. You work globally as a global oil company.
Now, this is a conference that happens every year. What's the mood over there at the conference?
Yeah, it's a conference that happens every year, and it's huge. There's 70,000 people here, as you mentioned. And, you know, with all those people, you'd think that some would want to talk to journalists. But many people here are really guarded when I ask them about this spill. You know, those who are involved in the disaster are most likely worried about potential liability. But even companies who didn't have a stake in this spill were pretty tight-lipped.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Houston. Rob, thanks.
Thanks.
Markets are rebounding a bit overseas. Yeah, shares are higher in Europe right now, about 0.5%. Stock futures higher here at home, signs pointing to some gains here. Not so rosy, however, in Asia. The Nikkei plummeted more than 3% today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
Last week, rental car giant Hertz said that it was planning to buy Dollar Thrifty for $1.2 billion. This week, rival Avis told Dollar Thrifty it's interested in them as well. So why is everyone so pumped about rental cars? Here's Marketplace's Lisa Roth.
When the economy fell apart, people started traveling a lot less. So the last couple of years have been a rough ride for the rental car industry. John Healy follows the industry for North Coast Research, and he says things are starting to turn around.
We're seeing a return of the corporate traveler as well as an anticipation of the return of the leisure traveler this summer.
Rental car companies want to be ready when that happens by having access to as much of the market as possible. Both Hertz and Avis are premium brands whose target customers are business travelers. Healy says whoever wins the contest for Dollar Thrifty would get the tourist market as well.
You're able to have two bites at the apple and basically share a common infrastructure or back office, which allows car rental companies to be very profitable.
Profitable for the companies, but don't expect to see big savings passed on to you. Healy says right now, four big firms do 95% of the rental car business. Once Dollar Thrifty's gone, there'll only be three. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, 24-year-old Wade McGilberry from Mobile, Alabama, pitched a perfect game last weekend, and he made $1 million for it. But McGilberry didn't even have to leave his couch. He was playing a video game, Major League Baseball 2K10. In that game, he played Atlanta Braves pitcher Kenshin Kawakami. The electronics company that makes the game shelled out the money for the best gamer on the mound. By the way, in real life, Kawakami's 0-5. Maybe he should ask McGilberry for some pitching tips. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.